I think too, it's more like deciding like what are you doing this for? Who are you doing this
Yeah.
for, right? So most people just want to pursue their own glory.
Yeah, that's
And
true.
so I don't know if you guys have read, there's a sermon by C.S. Lewis, The Weight of Glory, and it's super good. But he talks about that, like people want to pursue their own glory.
Yeah.
And I would just say you can't have that mindset. You need to, if you really want to leave a legacy, you have to lay your life down and being willing to get down on the wire and let the other guy crawl over you. And so it's like you have to be willing to just be okay with being behind the scenes if that
Yeah.
means that a greater good can happen for the kingdom. And I
Yeah.
don't think most people have that mindset. I think most people want to have their own glory and be like, as long as I can be famous in this world, I'm okay.
All right, hello everyone, and welcome to the Feminine Glory Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Lydia Edmonds, and I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Esther Edmonds.
Hello, everyone.
And today I have the wonderful privilege of interviewing Esther. We are going to get to know a little bit more about her, so let's jump into it. Esther Edmonds is a gregarious, joyful, passionate young woman whose fun personality radiates each room she's in. She is the owner of her own company, Esther Ruth Designs, which sells bespoke items sewn by Esther. Her entrepreneurial mind is always pushing her to take on new projects, which she uses to bless those around her. When she is not busy with her business, Esther enjoys baking, painting, and taking on fun adventures with her family. So, Esther, welcome and thank you.
Thanks for interviewing me today.
All right. So you're the owner of your own company, a
Yes.
seamstress. That
Yes.
is just, quite frankly, I think a lost start. Not a lot of people know how to
It is.
sew the way you do. Just, if we'll jump into it because like how you do it is just super cool. So was sewing something you grew up around, or was it something you kind of discovered as you got older?
Yeah, no, it was definitely not something I grew up around. I discovered it. So I wanted to do it when I was little. When we would play Barbie dolls when we were little girls. I remember I would want to be a seamstress and I would make, dresses for my dolls out of napkins and, tie a little ribbon around them. And so I and then we had scrap materials from like old tablecloths mom had and we would make small little dresses. We wouldn't be sewing them at all. It would just be like a random tie,
Yeah.
usually from old ribbons and whatever
Yes.
else we could
Yes,
find.
it was.
But no, I and then when I was around a teenager, I had expressed a desire. I had really started to desire sewing, like definitely more heavily. But I remember I kind of like off the cuff mentioned it to my grandmother, and I was like, "Hey, I just really would like to sew," and just stating it out there. I don't remember exactly. Probably she wanted to catch up or something, and I had just expressed a desire to want to learn, and then she was like, "Oh, I have an old sewing machine that
Yeah.
you can have," and I was like, "Really? Like you do?" And so she was like, "Yeah, I don't use it," and anyway, yeah. So then one day she just came and she dropped it off at the house, and that's where it started.
Rest is history.
Yep, it's an older brother model,
Awesome.
so.
Never looked back.
Nope.
That is amazing. So, besides that, what was kind of like the initial decision that caused you to pursue your own business? Like, was it a single moment you're like, I want to do this professionally, or is it just kind of a gradual realization?
Yeah, there actually was. There was a moment I remember I was working a job and I was looking around me and there was a and I just remember thinking like, I want a legacy. Right, like I there was a people around my life at the time, and as I would look at them, they were older than I was, and I was just thinking they were mainly all pagan, and I just remember thinking like, wow, like they just don't seem happy with their lives, they don't seem content, they don't seem like they're pleased with how their life has gone thus far, and I just remember thinking, like, I want to leave a good legacy when I am that age. Like, I want to be able to look at my life, and even if it's not exactly how I thought it would go, I just want to do something more purposeful. Like, I want to have meaning and intentionality behind what I do day in and day out. And I just remember thinking, like, I don't think I can do that where I'm at right now. Like, I don't think in this stage, that I'm in. I think I'm being capped at my capabilities here at this specific place. And so I remember then I had gone home and I was like, oh, I should start a fashion company. And that's what I should do. I should sell clothes. And I wanted it to be, I had a specific idea of what I wanted. And I remember I raced home and I think it was at a dinner conversation, mentioned it to my mom and my dad, and they were like, you should do it. Like, that's a great idea. Yeah. You should do it. But I needed to raise capital for it. I didn't want to start it in debt. And right. So I started to, work towards that, and then it kind of just all trickled down from there.
That's amazing. I know the people you're describing, it reminds me of how, you know, oftentimes Christians in our culture today, it's like, I went to church, check, I'm okay. But like, they don't allow, not a lot, but they're not continuing their learning at home in the word. And so it's, they're not like, the Bible isn't affecting every area of their lives. It's like they keep all the spheres separate.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really cool that, you know, you had that mind to want to leave a legacy like that.
Yeah. And I don't exactly know where it stemmed from, but I just remember having that specific thought, during one specific moment in my life. And it was really neat. And I couldn't say where it came from, but it just, I don't know. That's what started.
Tell the side note, but what are you drinking?
Oh,
amazing.
I'm drinking English tea.
Awesome.
From the New English Tea Company. If you haven't bought from them, they're out of the UK and they have amazing tea. So
they're a really good company.
They are.
And they come in the most adorable little tins.
Oh my word. Yeah. They send you like the old fashioned English tea tins, yes, which I think is really neat because you can use them for other things. Like I've seen where people use them to pack lunches or even people like put bouquets in them. So
I would love to do that.
Yeah. They put that like foam at the bottom.
Yes.
And then they create a bouquet.
That's a really neat idea.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. So
it's really good.
In light of your, you know, moment of wanting to leave a legacy, how mm-hmm. would you define the mission behind your business?
Yeah. So, basically my goal is to, I love creating, I have in basically any fashion I can find, since I was small. I just love doing it also. I love painting. I love, decorating. I just love creating in general. That is so much fun to me. And I think that everybody to some extent should love creating because obviously we were created and, that's an imitation of the creators to create. And so I know the difference is we can't do it ex nihilo. We can't do it perfectly,
right.
But we can still create. And I think we should learn how to create and to foster that within us. And so basically the goal of my company is, I want to, create items that are basically from scratch that then I can sell to bless my community and bless those around me and to turn a profit on what the Lord has given me. And so one of the things that I feel like is a specific talent that the Lord has blessed me with is sewing and designing. And so I want to be able to take that and bless others with what I've been given and not just bless them, but then also to help foster a similar version of creativity. So one of the things that we do as women is we take what we've been given and we glorify it. We add beauty to it.
Right.
And so, I want to do that by, designing the specific products that I make, but then also give it to people to where they can take that and then do it further. They can glorify even more. So they can kind of stand on my shoulders and be like, okay, well, with this specific runner I bought, now I can create a beautiful table that will create lasting memories for my family. Or, you know, with this specific outfit for me or for a friend that I have, I can bless them. I can help glorify them. And then they can take that on and then glorify their head. So obviously, you know, one of the things that is so important to you and me as far as how we dress is we know we're representing our dad. We're representing our father. And so we want to glorify him. We want to be that crown. And it's the same thing for wives and husbands. They want to glorify. They want to bring honor to their head. And so, my goal is to help others to glorify as well.
So when you were talking, you said from scratch, that means the pattern as well?
Yes. Yes. So I, that is a recent addition, but yes, I am getting into, so I was always drafting my own patterns as far as tablescapes go. So like the napkins, the linens, all that, I was, designing those patterns on my own, But then when I got into dressmaking, I wasn't able yet. I hadn't learned the skill to do that. And so now I am having like deep dives into designing my own dresses and clothing. So
that is really, really cool.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been a rigorous journey, but it's been a lot of fun. And it helps you to be even more creative. So one of the ways to tweak something or make it new is you have to understand the old. And so I didn't know really the why behind why certain patterns worked. And so now that I've taken that deep dive into the why, I can take that and make it my own.
Well, it has been a joy to watch it just click for you, and thanks all your hard work in discovering that. So
lots of geometry, I'll tell you. That class came in handy.
Not funny. I was listening to a podcast the other day. I won't go in. It was about plants and whatnot, and I was like, oh, that's where this from chemistry class comes in handy.
So your education is important, ladies.
Yes, it is. So what were some of the first steps you took after deciding to launch?
Yeah, so I first had to go into a bunch of research on the legal side of it. So I got that all situated. And then I was filling out a lot of forms, a lot of documents. And I remember there was one specific moment, though, where I think it was sick. So I was at home, and our family is one of the types, though, that when you're sick, you don't just lie around and sleep.
Educational videos.
Yeah, or you know, you watch some movies too. But it's a lot of like, if you have things to do, you also get what you need to get done.
Try to read.
While you're laying about.
Yeah.
And so I remember I was still working heavily on the business, and I had found a class I wanted to take on website design, because you know, as only I can. I had not only decided that I wanted to start a company, start a website, but then I also decided I wanted to make the website from scratch, which I would not necessarily suggest if somebody was starting their own company now. I'd suggest getting something like Wix or Shopify, where it already has the website designed for you.
Like a template.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was, being influenced to, start from scratch.
Okay.
And so, I had to take this really long class on how to build a website. And so I did. And, it was in the midst of that. I was sick, so I was doing some of the classes. And then also I was filling out a lot of forms. And it was in that time that I remember Dad was always on board, but he's one of the types that he's like, don't just say you want to do it. You need to prove it to me before I'll believe you. Yeah. Right. So he's like, hey, that's awesome. Now go do something with that. You can't just say you want to do that and then never do it. And so, it was in that moment that Dad was like, okay, you're committed. You have my permission to go full force into this thing. And that was a really sweet, like, father-daughter moment that I was really proud. And I didn't know at the time that was what was going to be what prompted him to give the A-OK. But it was a really sweet moment. So
that's cool. So how many years have you been at this now? Like, from when you first started really just deep dive into sewing and then starting the website.
So, like, when I started sewing completely? Or when I launched officially?
Yes, when you started sewing. Like, more professionally, not just the Barbie clothes.
Yeah. I'd have to say it was 2023,
I believe.
I had been doing small things here and there up until that point. But, yeah, I think 2023... and I don't remember. I know I launched in September of 2023, but I don't remember exactly. Because I remember I was making stock a lot before that, like trying to perfect the designs before then. But yeah, 2023 was sometime in there is when I started getting really, really serious.
Yeah, because when you graduated, you gave gifts to people that you made, right? To people that came to your party?
Yes. So yeah, I guess it would have been before then. Maybe more near 2021 then. Wow. If that was, yeah.
So how has your business evolved since you've started then?
It's definitely increased in its design. Mm-hmm. When I first started, it was not as much of a focus on the actual design and what I thought was nice. I wanted to do more what would sell. And so I was kind of sacrificing what I thought was beautiful, my own style for what I just thought would sell. And so I would say, definitely I've honed in more on my own style and And then also, as far as the overall patterns have changed since then. And then what I sell has changed since then. Because when I first started, it was kind of like anything and everything. I just wanted to get it started. And so now I feel like it's definitely honed in on things that I feel like would help bless, and then things that I personally more enjoy doing, but then also more what I'm gifted at. And so, because I remember when I first started too, I was doing, basically I was like making curtains for people, and I was making custom orders and doing anything and everything, which I loved and it taught me a lot, but that's not so much what I would do now. And so, but yeah, it was great. It was a great experience. And it's been really neat to see the progression. So I would say when I first started, I didn't know as much of the why. And now that I know the why, it's really helped. And when I first started, I was mainly doing tablescapes and curtains. So I was doing like runners and tablecloths and napkins and placemats. And now it's definitely morphed more into, I've also added in clothing, and I'm hoping that will be a bigger part of my business coming up.
I'm very excited about that personally. So where would you like to see your business in the next 5 years?
Yeah. So I would love to see it obviously very successful. But I am also aware that success comes in many different forms. Mm-hmm. Speaking of going back to legacy, I would be content if it wasn't necessarily like my business, was just, you know, the biggest thing ever. If that meant that then I could teach the next generation so they can take it on. Because I think, especially in the fashion industry, Christians have not taken that for the Lord.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of like the true fashion designers that we look to are more often than not pagans. And so yeah, I would really like to see Christians take that on to be more, to be more modest and be more classy to the glory of God and do your own style. So obviously, you know, you can put a twist on what's classy. You can put a twist on what's modest and make it your own style. Right. But I would love to see that be the future of the fashion industry. But if that means that then I need to be a quote unquote nobody, so then the next generation can take it on, and then the next generation, that would be wonderful.
The teacher kind of behind the scenes.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And so I'm like, as I keep learning, I'm acquiring more and more knowledge. And so I want to be able to pass that on, so then somebody can not have to start over like I did and not have to learn everything from scratch, but then they can take that on and they can be like, okay, this is what she learned. Now, what can I learn to pursue even further this business, and then take that on and then do something glorious with it.
That's really neat. I don't think a lot of people in today's world necessarily have that mindset, you know what I mean? Like, what foundation are you laying for the people that are coming behind you, and how are you going to help them, like a generational wealth kind of mindset? But I think that's really neat, especially in someone, you know, your age. That's not something you're going to see in the young adult realm. So it's really neat.
Well, I think too, it's more like deciding like what are you doing this for? Who are you doing this for, right? So most people just want to pursue their own glory.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
And so I don't know if you guys have read, there's a sermon by C.S. Lewis, The Weight of Glory, and it's super good. But he talks about that, like people want to pursue their own glory.
Yeah.
And I would just say you can't have that mindset. You need to, if you really want to leave a legacy, you have to lay your life down and being willing to get down on the wire and let the other guy crawl over you. And so it's like, you have to be willing to just be okay with being behind the scenes, if that means that a greater good can happen for the kingdom. And I don't think most people have that mindset. I think most people want to have their own glory and be like, as long as I can be famous in this world, I'm okay.
Yeah, that is very true. But I definitely agree with you. I think the fashion industry needs to be, you know, we Christians need to go plant some flags over there in that realm.
They do.
So what is like your favorite thing about being a business owner?
Blessing your community. Mm-hmm. The joy of seeing people when they have received their item or their product, their custom product, whatever it may be. And even like getting to work some behind the scenes. So like, yeah. I've had some people that have come and told me like, hey, this person that I know is having something coming up and I want to bless them with a gift. Can you help me? Those are my favorite because it's like, they want to help bless somebody they know and they've asked me to participate.
Yeah.
And I just think that's so much fun.
Yeah. That's really neat.
Yeah. It's always a fun, like, cause it's you're being really secretive, and especially if it's somebody that you know, like, and then it's like, you see them and it's like, I know what's in the works for you.
Yeah.
You don't.
I mean, it's not often you get like a custom gift like that, like apron or.
No. And I just think it's so much fun. Like, cause they're taking the time to think about you.
Right.
And they included, or their person. And then they've included you in that. And so it's just so much fun to be like, hey, here you go. Here's your thoughtful gift that you decided to design custom after this person. Like, you told me what you wanted for this person and I get to participate in that. I think that's really neat.
That's beautiful. So what is a common misconception people have about what you do?
Oh, no. Okay. This one's funny. I don't know if I just like, I'm not good at explaining it to people. Or maybe it's just because we lack this in like small communities. Okay. But the common misconception is I'm a tailor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And more often than not, before I get any requests for any custom designed product, I first get asked to help make alterations to some sort of garment.
All right. Taylor.
Yep. Yep. I don't know. Don't ask me why. That is the first thing I'm like, that is, cause that's one thing that's like, that is, I do that, but that is definitely separate from my overall goal. And I don't mind doing it. I mean, if I can help somebody do it, then that's fine. And I enjoy it. But no, it's always cracked me up because I'm like, that's a different skill set that I've not acquired yet.
Yeah.
To the extent that it needs to be.
So have you ever had like just a crazy life experience while you've been sewing, working on a project, and it's just gone terribly awry, or something has happened, you've been on a deadline and you've just had to like, you know, carry on with a joyful attitude through it?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
All right.
I had a really big order for custom curtains.
All right.
And it was tied to somebody that I knew that was, it was a big, let's just say it was a big deal. Like the person that asked me to do this was, it's a big deal. Especially for in our area, in our community, this was a huge opportunity. And it was outdoor curtains, which I had never done before. And it was a lot of curtains.
I remember this.
And I was, you know, working, trying to get it all. The fabric all came in and it was like yards and yards and yards of fabric. And I was rolling it out on the floor. I'd moved some of the furniture. I was rolling it on the floor, trying to cut it, trying to get it all aligned. Because that's the hardest part, is getting everything straight. And so I was working. And I get to this point and I need, so the curtain, the way the fabric ends up getting cut for you is it has this big roll and it's all rolled up, but you don't know how each section of the fabric is until you start unrolling it. So I had already made, I'd already gotten, I think half the curtains. No, it was 2/3 of the curtains already done. And I was on the last stretch and I get to this point and the fabric is not, it's like tied together by like one thread.
No.
And I needed that full yardage to complete the curtain panel. And I was just like, oh my word. And I had a deadline and this lady was going to be expecting these curtains and it was a complete mess. So I contacted the customer service and they were like, well, we can't help you because you've started cutting the fabric.
Oh.
And I was like, what? And they were like, no. And so anyway, to make a long story short, it was a lot of battle. They refunded me. We got the fabric in and I worked late the night before. And I was just you know, talking along, and I was, it was a late night, but I was able to get them all completed and get it to her in time, and it worked out well.
You'd be warned, unroll the fabric before you start working.
Well, that's the crazy thing, though. It was a lot of fabric, like a lot of fabric. And, yeah, it was, I was not happy with that because I was like, come on.
They shouldn't have sent it to you messed up like that either.
No, because I'm like, somebody had to have seen that.
Oh, yeah.
So I was, yeah, let's just say it was not, I've never used that company again. It was a horrible experience.
Yeah.
But we got it in. We got it done. Yeah, you just had to move on.
Be quick on your feet.
Be all right with it. Well, that was so funny, too, that when I called the company, they were like, it's your fault. And I was like, I did not tie the fabric with one thread.
Yeah. That was not
that is
me.
Not my fault.
I'm trying to put something together here, not tear it apart.
Right. Yeah. So that would probably be, that would be one for sure.
So we're going to take a bit of a turn. Mm-hmm. And your answers may still involve sewing, but we're going to go more to personal questions.
Okay.
Is there a book that's had a major influence on you personally?
Yes. Edith Schaefer, The Hidden Art of Homemaking, I think is the title. That one. And it wasn't so much of like, I didn't know what she was talking about in that book,
mm-hmm.
but, it was just like, oh my word, somebody else has thought about these things.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just me. Like, I just felt,
crazy.
Yeah. I felt less like a crazy person when I read her book. And, it was just such a refreshing book to read. And it was very fun and it was very, very good book. So I would suggest if you haven't read it, go check that book out.
Yeah.
And because basically the overall theme of the book is she's talking about the arts. So The Hidden Art of Homemaking, she's talking about all the arts. And she's not just referring to women. It's also men, too. And she's not just referring to married women. She's also referring to singles. And so the book is just so wonderful because she goes through each art. So there's a floral section of it. There's a painting section of it. There's a designing section of it. And she just goes through all the way. I think there's even a music section of it. And she's walking through how you can use each of your skills. So if you have a particular bend toward music, how to be able to incorporate that in your everyday life and do it to the glory of God, to where then you're fostering your creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about how important that is to be creative and to foster those skills because the Lord has blessed you with those. And so right. you need to be able to bless others with it. And it was just, it's such a wonderful book. And so like, cause I think even she gets into furniture making and she shares some personal stories in there too, which is really, really neat to hear. And, it was just a wonderful, wonderful book. Cause she also says, creative people have a much, more fun personality.
Yes.
They're much more interesting people to be around.
Yes.
So she was like, if you're not fostering your skill, if you're not fostering your art, then you're not going to be a fun person to be around. And so I just thought, I was like, yeah, that of course. Cause you right. know, people that you see in your life that are just dull and you're like, oh my word, you're just, it's a serious, like Mr. Collins.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, you can tell like those are the people that just don't do anything to foster their creative juices.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, true too. If you consider like for moms with kids, if you're mm-hmm. not being creative, you're not going to help them in any way. Like I know that's been helpful for me, whether it's work ethic or creative ventures. And I'm like, I see my parents doing something, or even you doing something. And I'm like, well, I want to do, you know, take that mindset now and what I'm doing, get better at it because I've seen what they can do in a way that's honoring and glorifying to the Lord.
Well, that's what's so fun because she talks about like, even if you are a mom, she gives different ideas of ways. So like if you're drawing, she's like, doodle on your shopping list.
Mm.
You know, it's like 5 minutes.
Right.
And that brings you joy throughout the day because you see it and you're like, hey, I got to do that. I got to draw. I got to work on my craft.
Right.
And it just, it makes the overall home a better place, a more joyful place to be in.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say that book is really, really good. You should go look at it.
That's awesome. If you could have tea or coffee with any woman from history, who would it be and why?
Jane Austen. And I know that's such a like teenage girl answer, but I recently read a book by Peter Lightheart on Miniatures and Morals was the title of it.
Okay.
And he goes through Jane Austen's novels in a way that I had never thought about them before. Mm-hmm. And talking about the overall misconception about Jane Austen's works is that it's just a romance.
Yeah.
But that it is like so much more than just a romance. There is political trolls within it. There's societal trolls within it. And she was just so witty, but in such a clever way. Like, you had to really read her works in order to pick up on it. Mm-hmm. And so just the overall Easter eggs that were laid within her novels are incredible. And it is very, very profound. And even the idea that community really does help a person and their personality. Mm-hmm. So we've seen from firsthand one of the points he makes is that, and he says the overall theme in Jane Austen's novels is the people that are hermits are no fun and they're not good in their society.
Yeah.
Because they're now so selfish.
Yeah.
Right. They always do what they want. They always, they don't do anything unless they don't want to do it. They don't hang around anybody and they're just living for themselves.
Yeah.
But the people that are in a community have to learn certain skills that the hermit won't.
Right.
And so that was just really, really neat to go through. And he talks about the different men and the different women and where each person could have turned. The extreme of Mr. Darcy would be a Lady Catherine de Bourgh, which I had never put together before.
Yeah.
Right. But it's just like getting to read that, I was like, oh, wow. Like, there was a lot more. Like, I knew she had a lot of wit in her novels, but I didn't know the extreme.
Yeah, the levels.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So check it out.
Yeah.
If your life had a soundtrack, what would one song on it be?
Oh. Oh, that's a tough one. One song that would be on it would be Jesus and My Mama by Gabby Barrett.
That's a good one. Yeah. Good choice.
That one kind of... Yeah, that one just kind of speaks to the personality, I guess.
That's good. If you can master any skill, any new skill, what would it be?
Ooh. I'd like to do better at cooking.
Just as a whole, or like a specific aspect?
I think like know the science behind it.
Mm. Yeah.
So I'd like to master that. So, because we already cook and we, you know, mom and dad have pushed us to... do better at our cooking, and so we've been cooking for a long time, and so it's not that I don't know how to cook. I do know how to cook, you guys. but I would like to be able to know, like, just inherently, like, this spice always pairs well with this spice and this.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like
different combinations,
right? And I think being able to just intuit that, because I feel like my baking is more like that. So I just know, like, when I'm baking, this goes with this, don't do this, do this. And so I'd like to be able to carry that on to cooking.
Yeah. Creativity, once again.
Yep.
Like, a lot of people are like, you have to stick to a recipe. It's like, if you learn the science behind it, you get to have fun and then, like, do different combinations and try different things out.
Yep.
That's a good one. Really good one. What's one thing you think every woman should try at least once? So, it's either a skill, a food... You know, just anything.
Yeah, I would probably say I think every woman should try to sew something for somebody.
Mm.
Like, even if that's, like, I think just maybe trying, like, a burp cloth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or trying an apron. Or trying even a bag or a dishcloth. Everyone should try it at least once. Because I think that's just, there's something about when you take a piece of material, cloth, and even if it's not your own pattern, taking that and making it something. So, right, so you just have the beauty there.
Right.
It's just fabric. Yeah. But it's not useful in any way. It's not doing anything. It's just sitting there. Right. Yeah. And so that is your talent. Right, so to speak, going back to the parable of talents. And... that, it getting to see how you turn a profit on it, like from start to finish. It's like you take something like that that's impractical. It's just beautiful. And then making it practical and marrying the practical and the beautiful is such a fun and glorious and joyful thing to do. And being able to see like, wow, like that was just fabric. And, you know, I made it into something.
I remember in the Read the Room documentary Rebecca Merkel did on Canon, it was, she talks about that, like how we've separated beauty and practicality. So if you look at how the home has evolved and how we've, you know, in the modern day subdivision, it's all about ease and just quick in and out. And it's just not beautiful. But that those two need to live together always, and that you can't, it can be extremely beautiful, but yet extremely functional all at the same time. So I think that's a really neat. That's a wonderful, wonderful mindset just to maintain, especially for women as you're, you know, making a home a haven for your people, just to have that mindset. Mm-hmm. So speaking of home, what is your favorite way to unwind after a long day?
Okay. So usually if I have time, which is
rare,
it's getting rarer and rarer in this life and stage that we're in. If I have a minute to unwind, I love to grab some sort of sweet something. So whether that's hot tea or, I'm a sucker for chocolate, like, but I'm not talking about like, you know, I'm not talking about milk chocolate. I'm talking about like deep, rich, decadent, but not like, not dark chocolate. Okay. There's a happy medium.
Yeah, there is.
And so I would say something that's really chocolatey and indulge in that. So, whatever that may be, hot chocolate or whatever, because we make our hot chocolate and it's so good. But anyway, so yeah, take something like that and then get cozy, grab a blanket, sit on the couch and watch a show or a movie.
Okay, what would be your show or movie of choice?
All Creatures Great and Small would be my show.
The new one.
The new one, yeah, with Nicholas Ralph and Rachel Shenton.
That's wonderful.
And then a movie. One of my favorites is Surprise by Oxford.
That's a good one, too.
It really is a good one. If you haven't seen it, you should go see it. I would say, though, as a caveat, use discretion. I'd probably say it should definitely be, like, 13 and up. But obviously, parents, you can use your own.
Yeah.
You can decide what your own kids should watch. But I would definitely say 13 and up, because there are just some things in there. But, yeah, Surprise by Oxford is a great... Great
movie. You read the book first, right?
I did, yes. So I first heard about it on Storage Our Soul Food, which is a podcast with N.D. Wilson and Brian Cole.
Yep.
And it's a great podcast, by the way. If you guys haven't listened to it, you should go listen to it. But no, so I first heard about it in there. And I think it was like a really weird, like, I think it was like 10 minutes or something that I mentioned it. So I looked it up and I was like, oh, it's a movie. And then I was like, I did more research and I was like, oh, it was a book first. Now it's a movie. And so I was like, well, before I watch the movie, let me read the book. So I bought the book. I read the book, loved the book. And then I watched the movie and loved the movie. So.
Well, I think for most people, it's the other way around. You watch the movie first.
And yeah, but I didn't want the movie to influence my book.
Yeah, that's true.
Like I didn't want to already have in my mind what the character looks like, what she acts like, what TDH looks like, what he acts like. And so I wanted to first read it. And I am so glad that I did, because I would say there are some things, the movie is great, but there are definitely things that are more beautiful in the book than there are in the movie. And because the book is Carolyn Weber's words. Yeah. And so, which the movie obviously was not made by her. And so she just does so much better in the book. And too, the book is from her perspective. And so you're really getting to get into her head, which you can't do in a film. But I digress.
What's one trend you just can't get behind and why?
Okay, so this one.
You can go fashion or like design.
Okay, I'm going to go design here, because this one, I do not know who started it.
Okay.
But they need to end it, because it's awful.
Okay.
So
enlighten us.
Okay. So, and I don't know if this was maybe an older trend.
Okay.
And it just recently got brought back around by people that I used to know.
Yeah.
But there was this one girl that I knew, And she brought it back, and I was like, what in the world? And the more, as time went on, then I realized it actually is a trend. And I was like, I hate this trend. So basically, people, they take a vase, flower vase,
Okay.
okay? And they fill it with fruit.
Okay.
And then they put the flowers in. So it's kind of like, so imagine how people they take the pebbles, like the clear crystal pebbles, and they put it into the vase to hide the stems. They take fruit, but it can't be real fruit, right? Because it'll get ruined in there.
It's
And
foreign.
so they take fake fruit, which is also, I have a certain pain with fake
Fake
fruit
fruit.
because I just think it's so rude to put fake fruit out and people can't enjoy it.
To stare
You're
at
like,
it.
haha, I tricked you. Fake fruit. You can't actually eat that apple. It's fake.
That's
So I'm like,
definitely
I
the
don't know.
laws.
I just feel like people should, I don't know. So anyway, so
The stems and the fruit.
the stem, I'm like, fruit does not belong in a flower vase with flowers. That is a big no-no. But I don't know why they do it. I mean, I'm sure there are people that can do it and make it look wonderful, but I have yet to see that. And I just can't. I can't. It's
Yeah,
so bad.
that sounds pretty bad. That's
I just don't know who thinks of this. Like, I don't know. It's maybe if you guys like it out there, then, I'm sure you guys can make it beautiful, but
Show us how it could be done well.
yeah. And I'm willing to be wrong. I just haven't seen it done well yet. So if you guys do that, send us a photo or something because I like to see it done right. But I don't know. In my mind, fruit and flowers don't go.
Yeah, not like that.
Like it's one thing if you had a fruit tree or something and you cut one of the stems off of it, one of the branches,
Oh, right.
and you put it in the bouquet. That's one thing. I'm like, okay, then the fruit and the flower can go,
But
but
not in
not
it.
in the vase. And so that's the other thing. The fruit that they use doesn't make any sense. It's lemons is the most often what I've seen. Lemons and oranges, which I'm like, I don't know. It's just so weird.
Seems like all the, especially these colorful florals, would be a harsh combination of all the different colors.
It's just, I don't know. Yeah, it's a weird trend.
So, on a happier note, what is something that has stood out to you recently that has captured the essence of feminine glory?
This is kind of broad, but just overall, like what we were saying, taking what you've been given, regardless of what that is, your body, your money, your talents, and turning a profit on it and making it glorious. And I'm not talking about a monetary profit. I'm talking about any kind of profit.
Like investing in your family.
And so that to me is feminine glory. So you take what you've been given, you beautify it, and then you turn around and it has now become this glorious thing that blesses others. That I would say is feminine glory. And that could be whatever it looks like. So specifically for me, my sewing is that. So I'm taking what I've been given, the talents the Lord has blessed me with, and I'm turning a profit on it to the glory of God. And that may look like a monetary profit, but more often what I've seen is that is never what I think it is. And I think that is just glorious. And it's what it needed to be because that's what the Lord decided, how he wanted it to be glorified, how he wanted to bless it. And just keeping an open hand and being like, Lord, this is what you've given me. Show me how I can turn a profit on it for your glory and for the blessing of my community. And help me to do the best that I can with it. Help me to return it to you, glorified and beautified.
And that also is like, take your eyes off the end of your own nose, be looking at other people and how you can be beneficial and helpful to them and not just wallow in your own sorrows.
Yeah, I think that mindset really does affect how you live the day to day because then you do find joy in the mundane. Because you're like, I may be here doing the dishes. I may be here doing whatever it is, cleaning up a mess. I may be here not at all where I thought I was. I know you and me have had some experiences lately that we never would have thought would take us to where we are now. And it was hard and it was rough to go through, but it was glorious. And looking back, it's like, well, we wouldn't change it. And so just keeping an open hand and being like, whatever that may be, find joy in the mundane, find joy in what you're doing, because you never know what the Lord's going to do with that. Yeah. And, you know, there are some crazy things that have happened in our life that we're like, I never would have thought the Lord would have taken that moment of obedience and turned it into what he turned it into.
Yeah.
And it's been so much fun to watch. And it's to the point where you're like, I can't wait to see what he's going to do next.
Yes. Rachel Jankovic in her book, Yoohoo, she talks about that. Like when you kind of just have a steady plodding, you're busy about your business, and then it's almost like, you know, you're bush hogging or something, and then you turn around and you see what you've been accomplishing. And it's like, I was so caught up in what's in front of me, you know, and I've been busy. And then I turn around to reflect and you see, oh my word, look what God has done through that and the story that he's writing. And I think that's a really, really good mindset to have. And it's super cool to see, because you're right. It's sometimes like, I never would have guessed that moment would have had the impact it did, or this event would have come from that. But look at where that's led.
And now, you never, the moments that happen that way, you never expect those moments to be that.
Yeah.
So like, and I would often say it's the harder ones as well.
Yeah.
Or like the ones that you just didn't think about. It was like, you know, I'm just doing what I need to be doing. And being I'm being obedient, but I'm not thinking about I'm being obedient.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wow, the Lord took that act of obedience where I wasn't even thinking I was being obedient. I was just doing, right? And then, but you are being obedient, and you know, you're just so busy, you're not thinking about your day-to-day grind, your day-to-day obedience. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, wow. And you know, it's often the times where people are like, oh my word, that really blessed me. And you're like, oh, did it?
Yeah.
I'm glad. I was not expecting that, but you're welcome. Or, you know, if you don't see it, that's the other thing too. You need to be okay with not being able to see it.
You know, that's been amazing. You're talking about not thinking about it. How much the peanut butter cookie is a blessing to people.
Oh my word. Like, I feel like you should explain that though to people.
So, our mother and father, where my dad works, they decided that whenever there's a birthday or an event, my mom will just make cookies and take it up to where he works. And she'll, you know,
and not just people that we work with, but other people as well.
Yeah, like she'll make cookies for everyone there. And particularly the birthdays, like how much people have said, like, you know, the peanut butter cookies you brought have really been a blessing. And they're like, they'll go on and on about the peanut butter cookie. And it's just funny, like, it's not the elaborate.
Because it's almost always we make the peanut butter cookie because, you guys, the recipe that we have for the peanut butter cookies is so easy. And it's one egg. So it's a 1-to-1-to-1 ratio.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's one egg, one cup of peanut butter, one cup of sugar. That is it.
Yeah.
And I personally am not a fan of peanut butter cookies, but I'm not a fan of peanut butter in general, really. And so it makes sense. But everybody that likes peanut butter says that it's like a really good peanut butter cookie. And it is so easy to make. And it usually does pretty well. You can make it in mass production. And so it's always easier, especially if you have more than one person you're trying to bless that particular day. And so, and the 1-to-1 is just really easy to remember. But yeah, it's so funny how many people are like, yo, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And it's so we've amazing. Called it like, but it's more our mom's thing is what she does. Because, our parents have decided that they wanted to, bless their community in that way. And they wanted to be hospitable in that way. And so, it's a really fun way to be hospitable to them and still obey God.
Yeah.
And they love it.
Yeah.
Like, so we've called it the ministry of the peanut butter cookies.
It's awesome.
Yeah. She's doing, cool. she's a really big inspiration. Yes. We're going to get her on the podcast soon.
Yes, we will.
Yeah. And you guys can hear it from her own mouth.
So how can people keep in touch with you and all that you're doing and changes that, you know, where your business will be going?
Yeah. So, I have a website. It's under construction at the moment, but probably by the time this podcast gets out, it will be up and rolling, Lord willing.
Good, good.
So it's EstherRuthDesigns.org. So you can go find me there. I also have social media accounts, Esther Designs, that's on Instagram and Facebook. So, Yeah, you can go find me there.
Well, Esther, it was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you for interviewing me.
We will see you all on the next episode of the Feminine Glory Podcast.
Bye, guys.